page 84. The term of Jesus, the term. Which has been used to describe about Jesus in the John chapter 1. And from the term, we understand better about who is Jesus Christ. This morning we talk about Rabbi. Rabbi means he was considered as a teacher, the teacher of the law. Even though he did not receive formal education, but he mentioned later on, whatever he taught, actually is coming from the Father. So he directly received from the Father. Okay. Next term, Messiah. Messiah is a Hebrew term. The Greek term means Christ. What is the meaning of Christ? Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of Christ? Anointed one. This is the simplest one. That's just like an elementary class. What is the meaning of Christ? The anointed one. Okay. And the next one. Jesus is the anointed one. One whom Moses wrote in the law. Let's see, verse 45. Philip went to see Nathanael. And he told Nathanael, the one whom Moses wrote in the law. In the Old Testament, there are many verses prophesy the coming of the Messiah. We can try to refer a few verses. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, to see Jesus Christ is a very unique person. Genesis 49. Genesis 49, verse 10. Okay. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, okay, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And this is a prophecy that the Savior is going to come from the first book of the Old Testament. The Bible already prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, let us see, read one more verse. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, and from you your brethren him shall be hid. Verse 16. just as you desire of the Lord our God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Okay, this is a prophecy of the coming of Messiah. So when the Bible says the one who Moses wrote in the law, actually it's about more than 2,000 years earlier than the birth of Jesus Christ. And the prophecy already predicts the coming of Messiah. So the birth of Jesus is different from what? The birth of everybody you. The birth of Jesus, before his birth, right? There's a lot of prophecy, Genesis, Isaiah, and many, many other books have prophecy. But let me ask you a question. Does any one of you, before your birth, anywhere has any prophecy? Does your mother receive any prophecy, revelation about your birth? Not at all, right? No, we are ordinary person. Some of the parents choose have no children, right? And some of the parents choose have more children, right? So that is the reason why you are here. If your parents choose have no children, then today you will not be here, right? Or your parents go to get abortion, you will not be here too. So whether you are here or not, all because your parents make a decision. So it's upon the hand of your parents. But when Jesus was born to the world, that was under the control of God. So it's not an incident happened without any signs. It is a careful arrangement of God. So the one whom Moses wrote in the law, this is very meaningful. He is prearranged by God and not come by accident. So a lot of kids complain to the parents. I don't want to come to the world. You are the one who brought me to the world. So it means you are responsible for everything, right? But Jesus come to the world. That's come from the Father. The design and arrangement of the Father. Verse 45, chapter 1 of John. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." So here Jesus been introduced, the Jesus of Nazareth, means that Jesus was a Nazarene. And from next verse, you know, Nathanael's instinct reaction is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Which means, because Jesus of Nazareth, so Jesus was very commonly despised by most of the people. He is nothing because he is coming from Nazareth, and not a very popular location. Just like True Jesus Church, there was some member feel very shame to mention about True Jesus Church come from China. Do you know? 1917, China was so weak. One century ago, China was so weak. So can anything good come from China? The same thing. Can anything good come from China? The True Jesus Church, are you saying a true church come from China? So when everybody think about China 100 years ago, they put a big question mark about the truthfulness of the church. The same thing. Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? A good prophet must come from what? Like Jerusalem. This is a very famous location. Right? So this is another way to the term being used to describe Jesus, the Jesus Nazarene, Nazareth. Next one, 49, chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of the Israel." I think Nathanael has been moved by God. So he described that Jesus is the King of the Israel. The King of the Israel. What does that mean, the King of Israel? We can see from two verses. The first one, that's referring to Matthew chapter 27. Verse 42. This is what the priest teased him. You say you are the King of Israel, right? But we can see somewhere, John chapter 12, verse 13. When Jesus went into the Jerusalem, people shout Hosanna, the King of Israel, praise to be the King of the Israel, Hosanna, Queen, the King of Peace, and he's the King of the Israel. So when the Bible says he's the King of Israel, it's talk about the spiritual king, and Israel is a spiritual kingdom. So Jesus is the King of the spiritual kingdom, and this is another term used to describe the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the son of a carpenter. He is the King of Israel, the spiritual king of the Israel. And he even himself testified, "My kingdom is not of the world. If my kingdom is of the world, my disciple is going to fight." Right? So he asked Peter, right, "Put down your sword. Those who use the sword is going to die. Put down your sword. My kingdom is not of the world." So he's the King of Israel, means spiritual king. So in the book of Mark, from chapter 1, you can see Jesus came with authority. If a king without authority, this king is a king of what? Puppet, right? He's not a true king. Jesus has a king of authority. He commanded Satan and said, demonic one, fall down on the ground, roaring few times, and the Satan went out. Because the king commanded the Satan, right? He lay down on the person who had high fever, and then the person was cured. Because he's a king. He's in control of everything. He has authority. So the people was astonished. How come this person is so different from the Pharisees and scribes? He come with authority. The king must have authority. And spiritual king has spiritual authority. Also the Bible says we are going to be the king together with Jesus. What does that mean? You are going to share the same kind of authority together with Jesus Christ. So everybody, you are the king. Very noble status. The authority of God will be with you if you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay. The last one, the Son of Man. We already mentioned it. So from all this terminology used to describe Jesus, we can understand that indeed the mystery of God is Christ, is Jesus. The most mysterious person in the world is Jesus Christ. Even the Jews until now did not understand him. If the Jews understood him, the Jews would repent and totally come back to him and call upon his name. Else he is the most mysterious person. because he is God himself, came to the world to become human being. Okay. Now, from the book of John, we can find a very special characteristic of this book. And this book is so unique that so many times the Bible used the true, the word T-R-U-E, true, to describe a particular things. True, T-R-U-E. First, I would ask you, can you try to define what is true? Can anybody try to define what is true? You know, in United States, right, the passport can be valid for how many years? 10 years, right? When you are age of 40, you took a passport photo and you apply for a copy of passport in the time of you are naturalized to be American citizen. But in the last year, you use a passport, and that time you are 50 years old, right? And you go through the custom, and custom look at you. See, this doesn't look like you, right? But you say, this is truly, this is my picture, but it doesn't look like you. Oh. So 10 years ago, you took a picture, and 10 years later, you take another picture. You compare with two pictures. You look the same or different? I think maybe somebody looks the same. Oh. But most of us, we are changing. You increase your wrinkles or something like that, right? So we people, we are changing from time to time. The picture is true, but the 10 years picture is different from the picture now, which means our true, our truthfulness is changing. Your physical body-wise, you are changing. Oh. Can you tell anything in the world never change? Can you tell anything in the world never change? So there's a Chinese saying that before you get married, you swell to the mountain, you swell to the ocean, 海誓山盟, but still change. Everything change. So nothing in the world never change. So from the eternal perspective, nothing is true because everything is changing. From the eternal perspective, only one is true. Which one? God himself. Beside God himself, nothing is true because everything is changing. So when you look into the Bible, when the Bible is true, T-R-U-E, it's different from the term true being used in the worldly sense. In Russia, there was a newspaper called Zhenlibao, Truth. The newspaper called Truth, just like a New York Times, they call Truth. And they proclaimed, you give me a story, I continue to publish in the newspaper 1,000 times, and you will become Truth. Because people are brainwashed, eventually they believe it, and it becomes Truth. Okay, now, let us see what the Bible talk about the true things in the book of John, and why the Bible have to talk about, add one word, T-R-U-E. The reason Bible put a T-R-U-E is try to differentiate the difference. John chapter 1 verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 9. And the true light that enlightened every man was come into the world. You say the true light. Why the Bible had to add the true instead of the light that enlightened everyone come into the world? Because there are so many different light, right? Fluorescent light, candle light, sunlight, moonlight, so many different light, right? But the true light, it means the light from God, a different light, is a spiritual light because it's come from God. God is spirit, spiritual light. And this true light will give us life. And this true light will expose the darkness, will dispel the darkness, will dispel the death, and will dispel the sin. So this is the true light. So a person without God is a person deep under darkness without light. So it's very important we have to come under God. He is the true light. Jesus is the true light. So you can be enlightened. Okay. When we come into the true light, a lot of good points. You can discern the direction. Yesterday we mentioned it. When you come to the true light, you can understand yourself. You can understand yourself. Without the true light, to expose ourselves, we can never understand ourselves. So everybody thought they are righteous. Until one day you come under the light. You know, you look into the air, right? Very clean, right? Suppose if the roof have a small hole and there is a ray of the sunshine shine into the room, what are you going to see? You are going to see so many dust flying in the sky in this room, right? I think most of you had this experience, right? But there is no ray of the strong light, then you see the air is clean. When the strong light, the beam of the light of true light for God, shine into your heart, you can see all your dirty, fearful notes of your heart. So this is the true light. Okay. The next, chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word become flesh and dwell among us, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Truth. Right. When Jesus Christ was under the trial of Pilate, and Jesus said, I come to bear the testimony for the truth. And what did Pilate say? What is truth? Right. And this is a very meaningful question. What is truth? Pilate tried to try Jesus, tried to judge him, but he did not know what is truth. So that is the reason most of the judgment in the world are not right at all. Because they don't know the truth. You know that the highest decision body of judicial system in the United States is Supreme Court, right? Supreme Court. And how many judge in the Supreme Court? Nine, right? Nine or seven? Nine, right? Okay. So a lot of people care about the judge in the Supreme Court, whether they are liberal or they are conservative, So whether Republican or Democratic being elected as a president has to do something with the decision of Supreme Court, because Republican tends to nominate a conservative one, and Democratic tends to nominate the liberal one. And right now, a lot of conservative is going to retire. So if more liberal come into the Supreme Court, and you can see the direction will change. If you look into their judgment, usually 9 people, 5 against 4, and pass because it's majority. If it is the truth, 5 against 4 means what? 4 people don't know the truth, right? But it's very possible reverse. 4 people know the truth, 5 are blind to the truth. However, they are leading the United States to make a decision when there was a very important dispute. So truth is so important in our life. And where comes the truth? Truth should have one important characteristic. Psalm chapter 119, verse 84. If you can find any theory or any people saying can fulfill this verse, then it is the truth. Psalm chapter 119. Verse verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in heavens. Okay, let us examine this verse. Forever, what does it mean forever? From the everlasting to the everlasting means history, time-wise. 5,000 years ago, now, 5,000 years later, never change. This is the first character. The next one is firmly fixed in heaven. What does that mean, heaven? You point to heaven right now, it's on top of you, right? 12 years or hour later, you point to heaven, that's totally different direction. 180 degree different direction. So heaven means all the universe, unlimited space. And the words of God is firmly fixed in every corner of the universe, in every timing of the human history. So this is called truth. So if you can find anything, anything, never change under the passing of the time and under the changing of environment. And that is the truth. So can you find any truth in the world? Is the law the truth? No. Right? The British law is different from American law. Even in America, 50 states, the law are different. Law is changing. So anything never change. Philosophical thinking is changing from time to time. So it's not the truth. So there is only one truth. The truth is the words of God, fixed in heaven and last forever. So it's so precious. Today we can seek after the truth. Okay. Now let us see the next one. So whether we try to judge this right or wrong, the ultimate, the bottom line is the truth. Whatever you say is the same with is right or wrong according to the words of God. Chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael come to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Yes, in the original text, maybe you cannot find the words of true, but in some of the translation, say true Israelite. Chinese had this kind of translation. But it's for your reference. Now, the true Israelite. What kind of person in the eyes of God is a true Israelite? What kind of person in the eyes of God is a true Israelite? The same verse, 47. In whom is no, how to say? Guile? How to pronounce? Guile, right? And no guile, right? Very truthful inside and outside. So when a person describes, when a person try to introduce you, a brother Bhuti is very diplomatic. Is that good or wrong? Is good or no good? I'm not specifying on you. If somebody introduces you, this is a person very diplomatic, is that good or no good? Depends. If diplomatic means you can say something not really reflect your own thought, then maybe it's a kind of hypocrisy. You see the diplomat. In different occasion, they can give different speech. Same with the politician. A politician always very diplomatic. In different timing, they can speak different, give different speech, but it not necessarily reflect their own thought. And that kind of person in the eyes of God is not the true Israelite. Because what they say is not what they think. Hypocrite. Of course, if you can say something, can let other people feel nice without doing any harm to anybody, without lying anything, that's good. But we have to make a judgment. Okay, so the true Israelite. I recall there was a brother talk about his experience in the United States. He say he came to United States. Everywhere people say, hi, hello, how are you, right? In the park, everywhere, even the stranger say to you. But he come here so many years, he never make a good friend. Really can talk into the bottom of your heart. But when he was in the Europe, in a certain country, people feel so cold to each other, never say hello to each other, right? Even in the train. But he had quite a few good friends, really can talk from the bottom of the heart. So what he tried to say is people here tends to be very superficial, nice to you, that you feel good, that's all. But not from the bottom of your heart. So the true Israelite means when you say, I love you, means I love you, and nothing else, from the bottom of your heart. And then this kind of person truly can be a good friend without guile. This is very important. Okay. Now, let's see next one. The true God, chapter 4, verse 33. Chapter 4, verse 33. Maybe this is some kind of type error. Let's see. Okay, or we see chapter 17, verse 3. Chapter 17, verse 3. And when I go, I pre... 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. They know thee, the only true God. So the book of John talk about the true God. Why the Bible is true? It try to differentiate. There are many gods, right? But only one true God. So many people in the world are worshiping gods. But very important is we have to worship the true God. We can refer few other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 4. Okay. I'm not aware of anything. Chapter 8, verse 4. Hence, as to eating of the food offered to the idol, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. So idol is nothing. There is only one God. Somebody worship idol because they consider idol as something, but actually in the eyes of God, it is nothing. It is no real existence. Verse 5. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, as many as lords. Right? So you say, there are so many gods. The Hindu worship the god in Hinduism. The Buddhism worship the god in Buddhism. Right? The Muslim worship their own gods. So there are so many gods. In heaven, heaven means, you look into the heaven, the moon, the sun, or the sky, they worship as gods. But that's not the true God. Or on earth, a big mountain or a big tree or a very famous person on earth. But they are not the true God. So there are many gods and lords. Verse 6, and yet for us there is one God, the Father from whom. So we should worship the only one God, the true God, who is the creator of the universe. And if this is the true God, and this God should be a living God, and if this is a living God, and this God should be a responsive, a God very responsive. So when you talk to a person, right? When you talk to a person, if the person never responds, right? Maybe the person falls asleep, right? Never responds, right? Just like when we are having a lecture here, if you never respond, maybe you are diaoyu, fishing, right? If you are not fishing, then you are responsive. The true God, the same. One day, you sometimes you hear the church members say, the father was very sick in their hometown, and they rushed back to the hospital to see the father. And the father was semi-coma. And the children say, daddy, I'm coming back. And the father knew that he's going to die. And the two tears come from the eyes. But the father was not able to talk anything. The father is still alive. Even was not able to talk, but responsive, shed the tear. But hours later, the father passed away. The second son come back. He continued to call father. Father never have any tear, right? Because dead already. The same thing. If this God is a true God, you pray to this God, you praise this God, you ask for this God, and he is going to be responsive, and you are going to have some interrelationship with God. Interrelationship with God, very responsive. Of course, some people worship the idol, they can feel that they can interreactive relationship too, but that is come from Satan. So we are worshiping the true God, the living God, the God which you can build up an interreactive relationship. Okay. So this is the true God. It's the only one God. Okay. Let's come back to... we can see one more verse. True God. That's enough, huh? The next one, the true worshipper. Since we worship the true God, we should be the true worshipper. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. And the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and the truth. Since the Bible says the true worshipper means some worshipper are not true at all. And how to differentiate whether we are true worshipper or not? By 2 points, whether you are worshipping in spirit and in truth. I still remember... when I was young, I saw a lot of family. By the tradition, they worship the ancestor, right? And the parents are very busy. So in the evening time, the parents will use the kids. Well, try to burn some incense. And a lot of kids were praying in the field. And this family, the kids was commanded by the parents, try to burn the incense. And the young kids burn a few incense and bow several times and fulfill a ritual. But while the children are bow to their ancestor, they keep on watching the other kids are playing the in the field. Keep on watching and keep on making some gesture about worshiping their ancestor. This is not a true worshiper. So we come here, we try to be a true worshiper. Do you know, custom sometimes is good. You have to get used to the service like a custom, right? If one day you did not come to the Sabbath, you feel very uneasy in your heart because this is your custom. Every day you do it. But the custom has its own shortcoming too. Why? Because you see, sometimes you are driving, right, in the freeway. On the one hand, you are talking the cellular phone with others. Your heart is in your cellular phone, but you still continue to drive. A certain exit, you get out. And a certain traffic light, you make a left turn. And certain stop sign, you make a right turn without using your heart. Because you already get used to it. It has been programmed in your brain already. Until you drive back to home, you never use your brain. Your brain keep on thinking about something else, right? That's a custom. Yeah. But if you are driving a new location now, you print out from the internet about a new address, you cannot do that. You look into the address, look into the street, and drive carefully, because you are not get used to it. You are not. It is not a custom. So sometimes we come to the church, it become a custom, which means you never use your brain, because it's just a custom. You kneel down, your body is vibrating heavily. When you start to say hallelujah, your tongue starts running. Well, who knows, it's the Holy Spirit, or you learn Spanish or Russian language. Right. So even sometimes you don't know yourself whether it is a custom or you are really filled by the Holy Spirit. So worshiping God as a custom can be good, but sometimes it's no good because you're only a custom. If you have no heart, no spirit there, it's not a true worshiper. Also sometimes if you have the experience, you are leading the service in the pulpit, you can see in the Sabbath day, some people come to the church only as a custom. And some people as a true worshiper. How do you know? How do you know? You know, you look into their eyesight, you can understand. If you speak a sermon really inspired by the Holy Spirit, and some people still fall asleep, it's a custom. Because only 1 hour, so he's sitting there to enjoy the rest physically. It's a custom. Right? But if you're really inspired by the Holy Spirit, you can see the person who listened. You can look into their eyesight. They are responsive. Now, sometimes they are smile. Sometimes they have some kind of expression. So you know their heart is there. So whether our worship is a ritual or a true worshiper, that depends on our heart. So true worshiper worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in the truth. Of course, the truth we can interpret as the truth on the teaching of the Bible. We try to use the teaching of the Bible to adjust ourselves. Then you are a true worshiper. Okay. And if it is a custom, then you don't care about so much about that. So this is a true worshiper. We worship the true God, so we should be the true worshiper. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 42. John chapter 4, verse 42. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Yeah, in a Chinese Bible translated, this is the true Savior of the world. And this is for your reference. The original text is not the true, the words of true. The true Savior. There are a lot of founder of religion. A lot of founder of religion. But there is only one true Savior. Jesus Christ. He is the true Savior. So if religion is for salvation, there are no other way you can go but come to Jesus Christ. He is only one true Savior. Okay. Now, there are three more minutes. Any question? We're going to continue this evening. Any question? I would like to suggest, if you are not in emergency, during the class time, do not go out. Only 3 minutes, but if emergency exception. Okay. Any question? So my conclusion, if you want to find anything which is true, there's no other way you can go but come to see Jesus Christ, come to the true God. Apart from Him, nothing is true. Everything is changing. Right? You like a diamond, you like a jewelry, you like a lot of precious stone. But when Jesus second coming, all will be consumed into ashes. That's not true. The Bible says even the heaven is getting old. Everything is changing. Only in God there is something true. So this evening we are going to continue. The true bread, and He is true. The true disciple, the true freedom, the spirit of truth. And I think start from tomorrow, we are going to go into chapter 1. Every speaking, one section, we have to study 2 chapters. I will highlight each chapter, the main point of each chapter. Let's pray in silence.